This will just add fuel to the fire. So it's pretty much, we're kicked back, oh, maybe 100 years worth of civilization. There's no world power to worry about. We're not going to be invaded by Chinese for our land or anything of that sort. Certain parts of America are in chaos, not from the tsunamis of the East Coast, but Canadians have to immigrate south, so you've got mass movement of people up there and the ensuing chaos, overloading the far northern parts because they've got to move south just like the Russians do. Mexico says, hey, perfect opportunity, the southwest overrun. We've had enough warning that it was coming, and if any of you have ever looked into what the asteroid watchers do and how much advance notice they have of anything going on,
oxymoron.
You know, those things can come out of parts of space that, yeah, they look, but they didn't have much warning. We had maybe a week or two to know that this thing was going to hit in the North Atlantic. Being the rubies that we are, we bugged out. We're not on the east coast of Virginia. We'd be under several hundred feet of water. We have moved west and south. West to get the high ground, south to get the warmer climate, so we don't have a severe winter as is going to be happening in the northern regions. Now, right now, we're 3 months past the initial strike. We, group here of rubies, have settled in this valley, on this farm, and we all mourn the loss of King Cobra, and are grateful that he has established this retreat for us ahead of time. We're sorry he can't be with us. But we've got to get our heads together and set up what we're going to do. So, what we need to do is figure out our leaders and then figure out what our problems are going to be and then move to some solutions. Now, where's Raider?
Here.
Raider, I want you to be my XO.
Right.
What I'm going to need from you is an inventory of what we have right here, right now. I need to know what kind of people we have, what kind of skills we have, what kind of equipment people brought with us. Because remember, we had more than a week's notice. So when we bugged out, several of us could bring more than just a campsite worth of preps with us. So we've got more than just what our normal camp is right here. And I need to know what kind of supplies we have, what kind of equipment, and I also need for you to have kind of thought about what kind of threats we're going to have to deal with, what kind of needs we're going to have in the near future. Trigger, I want you to be my security officer. Similar to my XO, I want an inventory. I want to know what kind of ammunition, firearms, communications equipment, what kind of security equipment, supplies, skills we have in this group. And also from you, I need you to set up a recon of our immediate community. Off this farm, what's in our surrounding mountains here? And again, from you, I want you to anticipate a little bit what kind of threats we're going to have to deal with. Now, the initial, you know, roving bands of marauders, a lot of those have already died out. Remember, this is 3 months past the initial strike. So, a lot of them have either killed each other off, starved to death, or already started dying from the epidemics anyway. But we're still going to have some of that kind of thing to have to deal with. Feedstock.
Yes, ma'am.
Med change for me. Same thing. I need an inventory. I need to know what kind of supplies we have, what kind of skills we have, what our potential is for meeting the different kinds of problems we're going to have from a medical aspect. And for all three of you, later on in the conversation, I'll be asking you, what do we have that can help us meet whatever needs we decide we have as a group? Okay? Now, here's where I need you all to start putting on your thinking caps. You've got your scenario. What are our absolutely initial priorities? What do we need to start dealing with?
Water.
What about water?
We need to find out where the sources are. Got to see if they're pure, you know, potable water, and what the water is going to be needed for.
Okay.
Estimate our use.
Our recon. Do we have any water around here that might be available?
At this point, we don't know. We haven't done any recon. In a perfect world, we would have. We would have checked out the area before coming here. But I've been told that we have not done so at this point. We came here at the last minute. We had a few weeks to prepare, but that was just enough to get here, not do recon of the area. So.
Linda, behind me.
Behind me?
We need to find a way to make a more permanent water source on site. Not to drag it from someplace else. So we need to find a bigger well.
Okay. What kind of stuff are we going to be able to use to dig a well?
Shovel, backhoe.
Okay, Trigger, I just saved your answer.
For the moment.
Also, I'll have an alternative.
Go ahead.
Based on the fact we've been here either 3 months or at least 2 days going down the range, there are at least temporary, if not full-time, creeks looking to damming up something to create a reservoir.
Right. Yep. We know where there's a creek.
We know where there's a well. Miss Barker should have a well.
Not just one well.
At least one well.
For those of us who have tramped through the woods, there are abandoned wells around here.
Well, the track, you know, those of us who went down to the range, there was a trailer there that at one time had an inhabitant. There must be a well there. If it's not usable now, it must have been usable at one time. There must have been a well there.
Let's not forget we are not in Virginia right now.
Well, no, we're here. This place, even though this place isn't right here. Okay, all right. Yeah, I know that part's confusing, but
we're here.
Move us south and west.
We're in Rubenville.
We have
somewhere
what we
located
have.
In
pretended it's this property in the Ozarks.
Yeah, there you go. Far enough south that we don't have to worry about the ferocious winter wiping us all out. Okay, go ahead.
Also, the horse farm right over here. There's horses that got the water.
Right.
Usually there's also a pond there.
So we've probably got access to one or more functional wells and one or more abandoned wells that we might be able to start utilizing. All right, what's the next? Another top priority for
sanitation.
Okay.
Well, security. Long-term food production.
Okay.
How are you going to power your wells?
Well, we'll have to explore that in a minute. I want to skip. I don't want to do each topic in absolute detail. I want to skip a little bit so we can move on. You said sanitation. What kinds of ideas?
Well, you need a place for human refuse. You need a place for trash and garbage disposal.
What are some quick ideas on those kinds of things?
One, use human waste in the garbage, compost, and use that fertilizer and a crop that's going to need.
Disagree. Do not use human waste to fertilize any food.
No, and I'll give you the author of the book.
I'll do what you do.
They have figured out how to use human manure.
Thoroughly composted and not directly on
the fruit itself.
The fruit itself.
Right. Yes, there are ways to use it. So that's one of the things we got to pay attention to. What sources do we have for information to learn to do things like that? But yeah, there's one way we can do our
And you can make a biodigester
and then use the
methane to run
cooking. Ooh, there you go. So let's use our methane to run our wells. Can we do that?
Yep. We get to use our bug out libraries.
If we manage to get some of our bug out libraries and the preps that people were bringing with them, and yes, I know for me that was one of the things.
I have two boxes that would be the first thing going on my trailer.
I got four pages of books on
them. Right now?
The Ruby CD would probably be a good idea to have too.
Mm-hmm. As we,
I've got about 8 or 9 CDs over there, right up to my laptop. It's all probably good.
Okay. So see, even out here on just this campout, we've got information
on
how to do this kind of stuff. And we would, various ones of us would have brought parts of our library with us.
So we could ask a researcher.
All right.
Well, a librarian.
Absolutely. A librarian.
Yeah, who are you? We're talking about this group, right?
Yeah. Okay.
A librarian and a researcher.
You had said something about security.
Security's always, okay, I'm a military guy, I'm an infantryman, but security's the first thing that goes out anytime.
Yeah. Altitude openness.
Yep.
But some people can look for water, and some people can scare the earth.
Exactly.
Right.
You don't have to think that.
Okay, hang on 1 second. LPOP, define that for those that aren't a military background.
LP is listening post and observation post.
Listening post and observation post. Right.
Everyone can man those. Child, 15-year-old, 12-year-old child can sit and listen and observe. If there's any movement whatsoever in the area. It's nice to build wells, machines, or whatever, but if you don't know what's in the area, someone's listening in or watching in, you might be getting yourself in trouble.
Right, the security's measured. Thank you, that
is. I'm with 11 Bravo. You can do the water, you can do the rest of the stuff. You need to secure a particular amount of area that you can defend. You have to figure out what that is.
Right.
But the point is, there's 50 some odd people here qualified. You've got Solar and you've got Trip and all these other guys. But you've got to figure out how much you can defend and how much you can control. It's your ALR. And at the time you've got the guys looking for the wells, you've got a few people out there sorting out what we can defend and what we can defend intelligently.
Right.
And you can't, that's something your plate gets really full really quick.
Yeah. So, that initial time span after we've got settled, massively full of all kinds of things we've got to take care of. Now, let's fast forward. We've come from the summer after the strike, and now we're at early fall. Pied Piper, you're a little familiar with these mountains. What kind of winter did we expect?
You're going to have variable conditions. Primarily coming into October, you'll get chilly, but more than bearable. Coming into November, a little blustery. Possible chance of snow, but not much. Once you get into December, you have chances of going down to the 20s. And if you get a bad winter, you can go down into the 10s, even the single digits. In December through March. Pretty much. Even down below zero. You can get snow, you can get salt, and you can get snow coming in between these mountains that'll dump 2 feet on you in a day. Okay, right here?
If you've already got bad winters up north, it's going to be worse.
Yeah, I'll just say, I've got
right. We can take what she said, pick it up enough.
Right.
That's part of why we move south as well as west.
Yeah,
I knew it was going to be worse than what we used to already. Alright.
Your worst case here is probably a 2-footer in a day or two. Your best winter is going to give you 4-inch snows several times in the span of the winter time and not stay on the ground more than a few days. That's your easiest winter.
Right, except with the climate change from the asteroids, we know it's going to be harder than that.
Probably
we're hoping we can move far enough south that not like Canada, going to be under glaciers again. That's why we headed south. All right, so what do we need to pick up in our preps for our immediate surroundings to survive a hard winter.
Viable food source.
Hang on.
Long-term shelter.
Some type of permanent shelter.
Permanent shelters.
Permanent
shelter.
How do we do it?
Insulated shelter.
That's go down.
Underground. Log home.
Log cabin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been looking underground.
All right, we've got
now the Hogan-style Indian drawing from timber and earth.
You get 3 feet down, you're getting into your constant 59-60 degrees.
Exactly.
Yep.
You take up some of these old hay bales that are not being used and use these horses across here to start dragging them in, and you start building longhouses.
Very good. We're on a blooming farm. We've seen the horses. We know they're here, and yes, we will be happy for the Barkers to join us in our survival, and they will share their horses. So we've got some of that manpower.
The hay bales are wonderful insulation.
The hay bales, the trees, digging down for the shelter, because like you were saying, once you get a certain level underground, you get constant temperature. Folks up north that have basements. It doesn't freeze in the basements. Upstairs it may freeze, but that's out in the air. The pipes are going to freeze. Down in the basement, you've got a constant temperature. That hard winter, your underground shelter is still going to be comfortable too.
It gives you the added advantage of being able to continue your construction throughout the winter down there.
That's it.
And you can keep building on, and then in the summer you can come above ground and add on.
You can top it off with the little bit of rock they have around here too, that everybody that's been down the range today
is
for ballistic protection.
And the rocks. What else can we do with the rocks?